I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for the Panthers Insider Show. The Panthers Insider Show with Panther Layers Chris Peek is brought to you by Feeney Insurance Agency, Wright Automotive Group, Dr. John Bush, DMD, and High Tech Auto Care. The Panthers Insider Show is on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
All right, good morning, Pittsburgh fans. Welcome to the Panthers Insider Show here on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. I'm Chris Peek from PantherLayer.com. Glad to spend the morning with you, or at least the next hour with you. This is our little hour of Pitt sports talk here on The Fan. We carve it out every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. and get together and chat a little bit about what's going on with your University of Pittsburgh football or basketball or what have you, Panthers. I know there's been a lot of there are a lot of things right now to talk about on 93.7 The Fan. I mean, between Pirates, Penguins, draft. I mean, there's a lot, and I'm sure you know today is going to be jam packed full of great stuff. But we get this little hour here at the beginning of the day, talk a little Pitt sports. Of course, you should know. You know, I have a website, PantherLair.com. You should be familiar with that by now. Panther-Lair.com. Pittsburgh.rivals.com. I was like to say it's the most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news on the internet. Football, basketball, recruiting. You find it all at PantherLair.com. And, you know, I mean, quite frankly, if you're a Pitt fan, that's the place you should go to stay up to date on everything going on with your Pitt Panthers. And then, best of all, depending on your perspective, we've got the message boards where you can interact with hundreds and thousands of other Pitt fans. I mean, it's literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, people getting together and talking about Pitt sports at PantherLair.com. It's a pretty cool environment, pretty cool online community of Pitt fans getting together every day to talk about whatever's going on or talk about the past, talk about the future, talk about the present. They like to talk Pitt sports at PantherLair.com, and every Saturday morning I get together and you know talk a little Pitt sports with you right here on the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Of course, we're a week out from the blue-gold game last Saturday at Heinz Field. You listen to some of that you know, on the various KDKA brands here with Jeff Hathorn, Pat Bostic putting in some good work. I stopped and chatted with those guys a bit during the spring game to talk about what we were seeing and what we expect from this team. And one thing I didn't really talk to those guys about, but it's something I've been thinking about a lot over the past – certainly over the last week, and I would even draw a line back further than that. You know, the last few weeks, maybe even the last month or a couple of months. I've been thinking a lot, and I definitely thought about it a lot in the last week. But really over the last couple of months, there's something interesting going on where the Pitt fan base, I can't say that they're marching around thinking that Pitt, Pitt is the best football program in the ACC or anything like that right now. But the Pitt fan base seems to have a fair amount of optimism and just kind of generally good vibes about the football program. And I'll probably use those two terms, optimism and good vibes, in different instances here as we talk about this, because that's kind of the best way I can sum it up. People aren't necessarily disappointed with the football program right now. Now you might say, well, it's because it's the off season and they're not playing any games, so there's nothing to actually disappoint you. And you'd be right about that, except it seems like it's something more. You know, this feels right now like the kind of off season optimism that comes with a really good season. You know, you go out, you have a really good year, and then you know that whole off season is just filled with optimism and good vibes, and everybody feels good about things. And it's funny because this team last year, you know, the 2020 season, truncated as it was, you know, sort of bizarro world as it was. I mean, Pitt went 6-5. You know, I mean, they didn't win 11 games. They didn't make the playoffs. They didn't, you know, go to the ACC championship game or anything. They went 6-5. You know, and two of their losses, the two best teams they played last year, beat the pants off of them. And then they had two other losses, the teams that they probably should have beat. You know, games that they probably should not have lost. And, you know, which are kind of familiar themes. You know, I mean, for the past few years, outside of, you know, I would say the UCF game in 2019, obviously the, you know, Miami game in 17 and the Clemson game in 16, you know, the best teams they've played have generally sort of beaten them pretty bad over the last few years. And that was the case again last year. And then sort of that unfortunate developing trend of the last few seasons of losing a game or two that you should win, that happened again last year, you know, with Boston College and NC State. I mean, Pitt shouldn't have lost those games, you know, for a variety of reasons. And you know, I think they were better than Boston College and NC State, so they shouldn't have lost, you know, because I think they were better than those teams. And then I would also contend that I think when you look at the way the games played out, they shouldn't have lost. They had every opportunity to win those games, and they failed to do so. And so, you know, sort of recurring themes from previous years. The offense let the team down, was directly responsible, I think, for several losses, as in previous years, as was the case in previous years. And aside from the fact that they ended the season with a pretty convincing win, and, you know, pretty impressive win, not that beating Georgia Tech is some, you know, right home about it accomplishment, but they played really well in that game, and even though they almost gave it back, which is kind of what they do against Georgia Tech, Vincent Davis goes off for 240, 250 yards or whatever it was on the ground, and they sort of ended on a high note in that regard. But still, it was a 6-5 season. Now, I think there have been things that have happened since then that have helped shape this perception and get Pitt fans feeling kind of good about their football program. One is recruiting. You know, I think Pitt signed a pretty good recruiting class in December. It was the highest rated recruiting class that Pat Narduzzi has signed since he got to Pitt. They landed some really good prospects. They held off some tough competition for a few prospects, and they added a guy or two late in the process that made the class even stronger. I think it was a really good recruiting class. I still don't know if I think it's better than the 2020 recruiting class. I think I talked about that after signing day, that, you know, ratings be damned. I think the 2020 class might be a little bit better than the 21 class. But, you know, I actually the fact that we can kind of have that discussion is probably another thing that has helped create some of this optimism, that because there's a feeling that recruiting is improving over the last few years. 2019 class looks like some pretty good players in there. You know, 2020 class already looks strong. And 2021, you know, like I said, is the highest rated class that Narduzzi has signed. So you can see sort of recruiting trends going in the right direction, which I think helped with the optimism and, you know, those good vibes of the offseason. They got a couple of transfers, and MJ Devonshire and Marcus Miner, two Power 5 players who transferred into Pitt, former four-star prospects who transferred into Pitt. And then, of course, the big news that Kenny Pickett was returning. And even if that came along with the news that Mark Whipple was returning, which I think a lot of Pitt fans were disappointed about that end of it, I don't think anybody was too upset that Kenny Pickett decided he wanted to come back for another year. I think they went into this offseason with, you know, their biggest question being who's going to be the starting quarterback. And with Kenny Pickett's decision, that question got answered. That's not a concern anymore this season. You know who the starter is going to be, and it's a guy who's going to be a fifth-year senior who's going to be in his fourth year as the starter. I mean, that's a pretty good situation to have. And so I think that helped the optimism. And I tell you what else I think has helped create some good vibes around the football program. And this isn't the last thing I'm going to say, but I think it is a significant thing. And it's kind of the state of the basketball program. To be honest with you, you know, if you look at the basketball program and the headlines they have gathered, basically since they beat Duke, you know, everything has been more or less downhill. You know, you have significant players transferring. You end up with five guys going into the transfer portal. You got a bunch of openings on your scholarship roster, and there's not a lot of movement been made. I mean, to fill those spots, they got one high school commitment. They got two transfers lined up, and we've talked about those guys a lot. But there's still a bunch of empty spots. There's a glaring need at center. There's a five-star prospect they're trying to land, but nobody knows what's going on there. It's just general sort of, you know, viewed from the outside, sort of chaos and disarray. And I think there's some element, I don't think Pitt fans are sitting down saying, well, I feel better about football because basketball's a mess. But I do think that there's some element of maybe on some sort of subconscious level that fans are feeling more optimistic about football and feeling better vibes about football just because there is that sort of comparison of the two prominent programs of the university. One is doing a little better than the other, even if that one is not really doing – I mean, it's not like I said, it's not like they won 10 games last year or 11 games last year. You know, this is not the post-2009 optimism. This seems to be built on some other things. And like I say, maybe a little bit of that comparison is playing into it. I do think that last Saturday's blue-gold game in Heinz Field did not do anything to hurt the offseason optimism. And as a matter of fact, I think it actually helped things along. I think that what happened at Heinz Field last Saturday has gone a long way and will go a long way in getting people's hopes and expectations up for what's going to be coming this year. And I think there's – so we're going to have to talk about this because I have to go back on a few things that I said last week on the Panther Lair or the Panthers Insider Show. I mix up the names sometimes. I have the Panther Lair podcast that I do as part of PantherLair.com. And then, of course, I have the Panthers Insider Show that I do right here on 93.7 The Fan. I mix up the names. But I have to go back on some things that I said on last week's Panthers Insider Show when I was previewing the blue-gold game, some things that I kind of got wrong in a big way. I don't have to bring that up. But the fact that I got them wrong and the way that things ended up going, I think is going to do even more to kind of increase the optimism and build people's expectations up. I think they're going to be even more. I think they are even more excited for this coming season because of what they saw on Saturday. And it flew directly in the face of what I said they were going to see on Saturday. So we got a lot to get to. We're going to break down this spring game on a lot of different levels, the things that really stood out, what we can really take from the spring game as we look ahead to the season, the biggest question marks that this team still has going forward, and just everything else that we can think of to talk about with this blue-gold game. Oh, and a little history trivia that I'm going to bring out, inspired partially by the blue gold game and inspired just because I think it's a wild stat. So we got a lot to get into. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Panther Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Peek got you for an hour of Pitt Sports Talk here this morning up until 9 o'clock. And, we're looking back at that spring game last week, blue gold game at Heinz Field. Pitt football team held. The final score was 30-0 in favor of the gold, which has to be among the higher scoring games we've seen, spring games we've seen in recent years from Pitt. And this was something I talked about last week, and I'll own it now for the freezing cold take for getting it wrong pretty spectacularly. I think I spent some time, a fair amount of time last week on the Panthers Insider Show, and I know I wrote about it on PantherLair.com, kind of cautioning you not to expect too much out of the spring game. Not in the way of, what happens in the spring isn't going to have any bearing on the fall or anything like that, but just to say that don't expect a lot of fireworks, that the format of this thing, the way it's set up, where the players get drafted into the two teams, the blue team and the gold team, you end up with first teamers playing with third teamers and second team next to third team and all over the place. And really where it really comes through is on the offensive line where you get guys all jumbled up. They don't draft the first team O-line and the second team O-line and the third team O-line. They draft tackles. They draft guards individually. They draft the centers individually. And so you get sort of a mix of players. Guys who really didn't spend all spring practicing next to each other. And it becomes kind of a mess. And that's historically what it has been. I mean, I always look back to the 2018 spring game. And that was the one that it was a 3-3 game until the final minute or so when Dane Jackson had a pick six. And that was the only touchdown scored on the day. Nobody walked out of Heinz Field feeling great that day. Nobody had walked out of Heinz Field being excited about the defense and how strong they played. Everybody walked out of Heinz Field bored to tears and thinking the offense was going to stink. You know, and that's, and I mean, you know, they weren't entirely wrong about it. You know, the offense had some high points, but it wasn't great. You know, and that's been the experience at a lot of these blue gold games with Pat Narduzzi. Last Saturday was not the same deal. Last Saturday, there were some touchdowns. There were four offensive touchdowns scored, which is a huge outburst. I mean, that's like, you know, crazy scoring for a blue gold game since Pat Narduzzi got to Pitt, and for a variety of reasons. So, you know, they try and hold back the playbook and all that stuff, but the draft format really kind of messes it up. So this one went a different way. This one ended up with a lot of scoring, and I think that's significant, and I think it's important, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to tell you why when we come back after the update. So stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. It's the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
It's the Panther Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Welcome back to our show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Chris Peake from Panther Lair. com. Spending an hour with you this morning. We're already into our hour, so if you're just tuning in now, you get less than an hour of Pitt Sports Talk. But that's what we give you every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., an hour of Pitt Sports Talk right here on 93.7 The Fan, where you can hear all the Pitt games all year long, football games, basketball games, whatnot, and what have you. Of course, you can follow your Panthers at PantherLair.com. That's the website. That's my website, Panther-Lair.com, Pittsburgh.Rivals.com. I always like to say it's the most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news on the internet. Football, basketball, recruiting, you find it all at PantherLair.com. And, of course, there's message boards where you can interact with hundreds and thousands of your closest Pitt fan friends, Panther-Lair.com. Those message boards are buzzing all the time. And they certainly were in the aftermath of last week's blue gold game. And, you know, I've talked, you know, since the show started, you know, over the last however long we've been on the air, 20 minutes or so, I've talked a lot about sort of good vibes around the Pitt football program and sort of some optimism that's surrounding the program. And there's a lot of different sources for that. But I think a big part of it was, or at least in the last week, I think it got a little bit of a boost because there was some offensive production in the blue gold game. And I know we always talk about, well, it's just a spring game, don't put too much into it. And I think that's true. But the reality is, you know, if you walk out of a spring game and it was low scoring and there wasn't a lot going on offensively and it was just kind of a defensive struggle, there aren't too many people who walk out of it. Even if their team needs an improvement defensively, there aren't too many people who are going to walk out of that situation and be like, wow, all right, well, I feel pretty good. Defense looked pretty strong. Think it's going to be a good year. There'll be a few who would do that, but not many. You know, even in Pittsburgh, where it's all about defense, and defense wins championships, and black and gold, and steel curtain, and all that stuff. You know, we can all talk about that, and we all pride ourselves on that, I'm sure. But the reality is, we like to see points. We like to see touchdowns. We like to see scoring. We like to see guys go out and make plays on offense. That's what's fun to see. And I think that kind of thing is especially true for Pitt fans who have watched for at least the last 2 years this team blow games and lose games because they couldn't score enough, because the offense let them down. And we're not talking about needing a team to go out and score 40 points, but you look at 2 years ago, the Boston College and Miami games, you only needed like 25 points, 28 points. You know, 28 points would have won. You didn't even need to get to 30. You know, if you just got close to 30, you got 28, 27, 29 points, you would have won both of those games. And instead of going 8-5, you'd be 10-3. And we're talking a lot differently about the 2019 season under those circumstances. And it was kind of the same thing last year. Now, a little bit more offense probably wasn't going to beat Notre Dame or Clemson, but it would have given you a pretty good chance against Boston College, would have given you a pretty good chance against NC State. Well, actually, you had a really good chance against Boston College and NC State. You just couldn't do enough to finish the deal to win the game. A little more offense. Offense is what has held this team back in the last two seasons. You know, I mean, I'm not going to dig back as far as 2018. That team obviously could move the ball well on the ground. They didn't have much of a passing game to speak of, and, you know, that hurt them and held them back. But, you know, you just look at the last 2 years with Mark Whipple as the offensive coordinator, with a lot of, you know, continuity personnel-wise, they just haven't been good enough on offense. And the result is, you know, what, 8-5 and 6-5. So they went 14-10 over those two seasons. when they very well could have gone 18-6. I mean, don't you feel much better about 18-6 than, you know, 14-10? You know, if you go 10-3 and 8-3 over the last 2 years, don't you feel much better than 8-5 and 6-5? Seems to me that I think Pitt fans would very much take that. And the only real difference between 8-5 and 10-3, or 6-5 and 8-3, was the offense. You know, I mean, I don't think there are any games you would point to and say, boy, the defense lost that one. They just had to make one stop. I mean, yeah, you could look at the Miami game 2 years ago, the game in 2019, or the Boston College game in 2019 and say, boy, if the defense could have just stepped up and made one more stop. But the defense pretty much played a pretty solid game in those two games. It was the offense that let them down. It was the offense that couldn't do enough, couldn't achieve at a level that I think you would expect from an average FBS or an average Power 5 offense. And so this, I think, has been weighing on Pitt fans throughout this offseason. How is the offense going to get better? Is the offense going to get better? And is it going to get better by enough to help this team win more than 8 games? And so, I mean, I think that's a question we've all asked since last season ended. It's a question we've asked throughout the offseason in January and February and March and now through April. And we'll continue to ask it throughout this offseason and into May now. I forgot that the calendar changed over, and it's already uno de mayo. You know, we'll continue to ask that question. It'll be the biggest question facing this team this year is, can they score enough to win more games? Can the offense just get its act together a little, just be a little bit better? I said this last year at this time. I said this last year throughout the offseason. The offense just needed to be a little bit better. They don't have to average 45 a game or 40 a game or 35 a game or 30 a game. Just get up to like 27, 28 a game. And I think you could do wonders for your overall team performance and your record. And so we've been dealing with this question. Pitt fans have been asking this question all offseason. Will the offense finally get better? And to that extent, you know, I mean, I think there's very little you would ask for. There isn't much more you could ask for than seeing them go out and put up some points in the spring game. And that's what you got. And not only did you get some points, not only did you get to 4 offensive touchdowns, not only did you get 30 points out of the gold team, but you got some standout individual performances. And I think that's pretty important to get those individual performances. And because I think some of those individuals have inspired a lot of confidence for the season. So that's where we're going to go next. We'll talk about who those individuals that really stood out were and in the spring game, you know, who really made an impression in that blue-gold game, and what does it mean for this coming 2021 season. So we'll be right back. We will talk about some of the standouts from the spring game when we return here on the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
It's the Panther Insider Show Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Panthers Insider on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Peek talking a little Pitt sports with you this morning. And, we were talking about that spring game last Saturday, and I was talking in the last segment about how, you know, Pitt desperately needs an improvement from the offense. The offense has to get better in 2021 if they're going to win more games than they did the last two seasons, you know, going 8-5 in 2019, 6-5 last year in the shortened COVID season of 2020. And, I mean, we all know the offense needs to get better, and I think that was probably one of the reasons that I think the blue-gold game on Saturday got such a good reaction is that, or that fans responded so, you know, sort of pleasantly to it, is that there were some offensive standouts. And I think, you know, any discussion of who was standing out on offense has to start with Israel Abanikanda, the sophomore running back from New York City, 6 carries, 77 yards, close to 13 yards per carry, a nice 18-yard run. He ran for 42 on like 2nd and 23. And, you know, we've talked about Abanikanda since he committed to Pitt a long time ago. I mean, for like the last 18 months, probably close to 2 years, we've been talking about him and what he could bring to the offense. And when he got to Pitt last January, he enrolled early, and we talked a lot about him then because we kept hearing all these rave reviews about his size and his speed and his vision and his balance and all the skills that he had that were going to make him a great running back. And then he goes out there as a freshman, only gets about 30 carries, scored 2 touchdowns, 1 rushing and 1 receiving, but didn't really get a whole lot of opportunity on the field. And so, you know, I continue to be bullish on him. I continue to have optimism about his prospects, but it just wasn't, you just didn't see him on the field. And so the word going around was that he was lacking in his pass protection. He had to improve in that area, but I don't think there was ever any doubt about his ability with the ball in his hands. If he could get his pass protection in order, then he would get on the field and probably make plays. Well, he seems to have improved in his pass protection. The coaches have all spoken highly of that. He talked about it himself after the Blue Gold game on Saturday, that pass protection was something he needed to really work on, and that he has worked on it. He's committed himself to it. And if he can get that down, then he has all the makings of a number one back. I think from a physical standpoint, he's built like an every down back. He's got the talent to be an every down back and a playmaker running back. And that's what this offense needs. I mean, they haven't had a good running game in 3 years. I mean, 2018, obviously, when Quadri Olsen and Darren Hall went for 1,000 yards each, was, you know, really effective running game. The last 2 years, though, they've ranked outside the top 100 nationally in rushing yards per game, and they've ranked in the bottom 2 or 3 of the ACC in rushing yards per game. They've been bad. They have not been a good rushing team for the last 2 years. They've had 2 100-yard games over the last 2 seasons. How many games is that? 13 and 11, 24 games. They've had 2 100-yard games. A.J. Davis went for 100 and some against Syracuse in 2019, and Vincent Davis had 240 or so against Georgia Tech in the regular season finale last year. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Todd Sibley also went for 100 yards against Delaware 2 years ago in that game, when Vincent Davis and A.J. Davis were hurt and Sibley carried the bulk of the load, 22 carries for 106 yards. And that's it. 24 games, 3 100-yard performances. Abanacanda looks like he's got the talent to be, good enough to put up a few more of those games than 3. This season. I think he should be able to produce, fairly well for Pitt this year. And, I think that was one of the big things you took away from the spring game. He looks like a number one back, and maybe the best back Pitt has had in quite some time. All right, we'll talk about some more of the individual standouts and also some of the things that concerned us when we come back here on the Panthers Insider Show right after the update. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on 93.7 The Fan.
The Panther Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Peake from PantherLair.com. Gotcha for a little bit longer until we get to 9 o'clock. Plenty to talk about still in the aftermath of Pitt's Blue Gold game last Saturday. That's what we've been talking about for most of the hour so far. It's what we'll continue talking about because it's the big story as it relates to Pitt football or Pitt sports. This week is all the reaction and the aftermath there of the Blue Gold game. Gold won 30-0. That kind of doesn't matter as much as the individual performances. We talked about Izzy Abanacanda in that last segment and what he might mean for Pitt's running game, an area that really has been a weakness for the Panthers over the last few years. I mean, basically since 2018, when they had 2 1,000-yard rushers in the same season for the first time in school history, and they haven't even come close to that in the last 2 years. So we'll see if Abanacanda is able to run that back a little bit and maybe get a little bit closer to 1,000 yards. So it's been 3 years since they've had a good running game. It's been even longer than that since they had good play out of the tight ends. I mean, I think you really have to go back to 2016 with Scott Orndorff and Matt Canada's offense to find the last time that Pitt's tight ends really made a positive impact consistently over the course of a season. I know, like 2017, Chris Clark and Matt Flanagan, those guys had a couple catches. Nikean Griffin-Stewart, I forget if he ever scored a touchdown. I don't think he did. But he had a big play on, was it fourth down at Penn State in 2019? They didn't end up winning the game, but it was a huge play to keep a drive alive that could have been a game-winning drive. We won't talk about how that possession ended. And then I think Danny Moraga last year had a touchdown catch at Miami, maybe. Just not a lot out of the tight ends. Not a lot in the way of great blocking, which has hurt the running game that we talked about in the last segment. And not a lot in the way of being a factor in the passing game. And in terms of catching passes, I mean, those guys have dropped a lot of passes in the last few years. And it's been a real fall off because you had, yeah, I mean, if you turn back the clock, you got, I guess you had Hubie Graham there around 2010, 2011. But then once you got to 2012, you got into like J.P. Holt's territory, and then Scott Orndorff came a year later. You had a pretty good run from 2012 to 2016 of pretty good tight end play at Pitt. And it really has been a fall off since then. And it's been transfers, high school guys who haven't worked out. It's been really difficult for Pitt to recruit the tight end position. And the results have shown on the field. They just haven't. It hasn't been a factor. And I think that has limited the whole offense, the running game and the passing game, and the overall effectiveness of the unit. So enter this season. And of course, the main guy that everyone's talking about, everybody's going to be focused on, is Lucas Kroll. We heard a lot of great things about him last offseason, about how good he looked, how well he could run, how big he was, how much of a matchup problem he was going to present for opposing defenses. And he didn't play against Austin Peay because he was hurt. Played in the Syracuse game, played about 50 snaps. Had five passes thrown to him. He caught one of them, dropped two. One of the passes he didn't catch turned into an interception. His one reception went for 6 yards, which I think converted a third down and picked up a first down. But that was it. And then at one point he limped off the field and he didn't play again the rest of the season. So all the hype in the offseason last year for Lucas Kroll didn't really turn into much. Well, now Kroll is healthy. He's, by all accounts, had a really great spring camp. The coaches are very excited about him. His teammates are very excited, and the hype is climbing again. And last Saturday certainly didn't do anything to slow that down. You saw how Kroll did. 2 catches for 44 yards and a touchdown. His first catch, I mean, he went really low to catch, I think Nick Patty was the quarterback. He was like rolling out of the pocket and just kind of floated a pass over a linebacker, and Kroll went down to catch it. Nice catch. And then the touchdown was a really nice play. You watch the film, you rewatch the replay of that game or of that play, and Kroll comes off the line. He's got John Patrician, the linebacker, covering him. Kind of looks like he's going to run a post route, then cuts it outside to a corner route, and Nick Patty rolls out to his left. And, you know, the move that Kroll made, the route that he ran, created some separation, and Patrician could never close the gap. And Patty was able to put the ball right on him for a touchdown. It was a really nice play, and I think it showed what Kroll can do and the kind of matchup problem that he can create and the matchup advantage that he can create for Pitt. That needs to happen a lot this year. I mean, I don't want to call anything the missing piece because I think there are a lot of missing pieces. You know what I mean? Izzy Abanikanda can be the missing piece. The offensive line can be the missing piece. Lucas Kroll can be the missing piece here. I think they've got a really nice collection of wide receivers. I like, obviously, Jordan Addison's really good. I like Jalen Barden a lot. I think Taysir Mack can go out strong and finish his career on a high note. I think they've got good players at receiver. I'm obviously bullish on Izzy Abanikanda, and I think the offensive line is poised to take a step forward. Lucas Kroll, if he can... Oh, Jared Wayne is another wide receiver, sort of a big body possession guy. But if Lucas Kroll can be a factor... I mean, it could be a real killer for opposing defenses. You know, I mean, there's a lot of ifs we're talking about here, but I think there's enough that you can look at and say, wow, that's a possibility. That could happen. And if it does, that could be a real game changer for Pitt if Lucas Kroll can play at that level on a consistent basis over the course of this season. I think he could just do wonders for this offense. And by extension, this team. All right, so we will be keeping an eye on that. We'll take one more quick break, and then I want to talk about the concerns. There's some things that maybe we'll finish on a down note, so I'll get your weekend started off right. It's going to be a beautiful day. I don't want you to have too much fun today, so I'm going to talk about some things from the spring game that concerned me, probably concerned you too. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back on the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Welcome to Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, Chris Peek with you for just a couple more minutes to talk about Pitt football wrapping up that blue-gold game that we saw last Saturday at Heinz Field. Talked a lot about some positives. I mean, just spent basically the whole last hour talking about things that we really liked. Izzy Abanikanda, the offensive line, Lucas Kroll, Kenny Pickett coming back, just general optimism about Pitt football. A few concerns, though. came out of that spring game, and I think probably the one that people talked about the most in the aftermath of the blue-gold game was the kicking game. Ben Saul's redshirt freshman taking over for Alex Kessman. He was the only available kicker on Saturday, so he basically had all the duties. He went 1 of 2 on field goals, made one from 35, missed from 49. He was wide, I think, left. I didn't see a dead-on angle. I'm watching from the press box. It's hard to tell which way the ball misses, but it was clear, but it did miss. So he went 1 of 2 on field goals. Even more concerning, 3 of 4 on extra points. Now, I haven't rewatched the extra point kick that he missed to see if it was an operation issue or what it was, but he missed an extra point, and that's something you never like to see. I will say the 49-yard field goal that he missed looked like it had the distance. It was long enough, it seemed, you know, from my perspective in the press box. He also had 7 kickoffs, and 5 of them went for touchbacks. So I don't think there's any question about Ben Saul's leg strength. He's just going to have to get his consistency down. You know, I mean, a 49-yard kick is not an easy kick by any stretch of the imagination, but it's one that you're going to need to make with relative consistency. And I think Alex Kessman was pretty good at that range. He seemed to have some more inconsistency inside 40 yards than he did outside 40 yards. He was knocking down some really long kicks over the years, as we all know. If Pitt's going to be in close games again, and there's no reason to think they won't be, it's kind of what they do, then Ben Saul's is going to have to be, he's going to have to show how he responds in high-pressure situations. I think he's got the talent to do it. He's just got to show it on the field. And that's what I would say sort of in closing about this whole team right now. Any areas that we have concerns about or questions or even optimism about, I don't think there are severe talent deficiencies at any spot on this team. I think they have enough talent to compete in almost every game they play. Just some of the areas are unproven. The offensive line is unproven. The defensive ends are unproven. The tight end is unproven. The running back, at least Izzy Banacanda, is unproven. The safeties are unproven. I think there are talented players at these spots, but they've got to show what they can actually do in a game. And we'll find out about that in about 4 months or so. So we can all tune in then. Thanks so much for spending the last hour with me talking a little Pitt sports. I appreciate it. Make sure you check out the website, pantherlair.com. It's panther-lair.com, pittsburgh.rivals.com. You can find everything there. And, of course, every Saturday morning, we are right here, Panthers Insider Show on 93.7 The Fan. So don't go anywhere. Stick around with The Fan all day today. And we will see you back here next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for the Panthers Insider Show. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.